I suppose it was already dismissed.
All right.
I came across a statement by Randy Alcorn, which says that the child whose father steps in front of him to protect him from a hail of bullets can trust him not to poison his food or to push him off of a cliff. The reality is, you and I have a heavenly Father who has given us His Son, whom we can trust. And as we think about that, let's go before Him in prayer this morning as we begin. Heavenly Father, we thank You today for Your Word. We thank You for its power. Father, we're reminded again in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, that it is living and active, it is sharper than a double-edged sword. I pray that Your Word would pierce us where we need piercing. Father, I pray that You would work in a powerful way through this time. Lord, I thank You for each one who is here today, that You've ordained that they would be here in this place to hear Your Word. We thank You for that. Father, I want to pray for those who don't even know You as Savior, who have not even trusted Your Son. Father, I pray that they may see that they have a great need before You, that there is sin that separates them from You, and that the gap between You and us is immense. But Father, that You sent Your Son, we thank You for that. We thank You for His work. Thank You that we had the opportunity to remember that this morning. Father, for those of us who have a relationship with You through Your Son, we thank You for that relationship. Father, may we be encouraged and exhorted this morning to trust You in all things. We thank You for Your great love for each and every one of us. Thank You. Thank You for Your mercies and Your grace that are new every day. We pray that You would bless this time. Pray that You would speak through Your Word in a mighty way. In Your name we pray. Amen. Open up with me to Daniel chapter 6. That's where we're going to be spending our time. Daniel chapter 6, because the question that arises today is this question. Can we trust God? Can we trust Him with our families? Can we trust Him in our circumstances? Our circumstances look different in our lives than from the life of somebody maybe in the pew next to us. Can we trust Him in the here and now? Can we trust Him in whatever ails us, maybe physically? Can we trust Him in difficult times? Can we trust Him? Because the reality is, this is a message that you and I need to hear this morning. If there is a message that I need to hear preached, it's this one right here. We had our son this past week, and Monday night he was born at about 8:21. And so we were in the hospital till Wednesday afternoon. The doctor came in and told us that little Colton had a heart murmur. And so we ended up going into Marquette the next day. It took 2 hours to get there. I had no idea what a heart murmur was. I was a little concerned about this. There are going to be circumstances that are going to come up in our lives. Are we going to trust God? Turned out, everything was okay. He didn't have a heart murmur, praise the Lord. He's healthy. Mom is doing well. But there is a great battle that takes place. And that battle is between our minds and our hearts. Because you and I know that the Lord is going to take care of us. We know that He's for us, that He loves us, that He's going to carry us through. But if we're going to be honest this morning, sometimes we don't feel that way. We don't feel like He really cares. Sometimes we feel anxious or we're worried about something when we ought not to be. So there's this battle that takes place. God's desire is that we would trust Him in all things. We're going to be looking at a man in the Old Testament. When everyone else around him came against him, when his life was at risk of being taken from him, he looked to God and he trusted the Lord. And that's why I had you turn to Daniel chapter 6 this morning. We are going to look at a man by the name of Daniel. If you're familiar with this passage, you'll know that this is the time where Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. Today we're going to analyze three things from the life of Daniel in chapter 6 as he sailed through a major storm and came out of it trusting God. The very first thing that we are going to analyze this morning are the charges. We see the charges in Daniel chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. Let me read this for you. It says here, Then the commissioners and the satraps began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to government affairs. But they could find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption inasmuch as he was faithful, and no negligence or corruption was to be found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any ground of accusation against this Daniel unless we find it against him with regard to the law of his God." Then these commissioners and satraps came by agreement to the king and spoke to him as follows, "King Darius, live forever. All the commissioners of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the high officials, and the governors have consulted together that the king should establish a statute and enforce an injunction that anyone who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days shall be cast into the lion's den. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it may not be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which may not be revoked. Therefore, King Darius signed the document, that is, the injunction. A man who lives and abides by the laws of God, typically you will say, is a good man. But a man who lives and abides, by the law of man, typically you would say, is a good man. A man who lives and abides by the law of God, you would say, is a godly man. A godly man will stand out from what society says is a good man or a bad man. We know the differences between the two, but let me tell you something. That godly man is going to stand out from both of those. And that was the case right here. Daniel stood out from his contemporaries. He stood out among those men who were surrounding him. And the reality was, because of this, they were jealous of him. Now, I was going through my notes in Daniel, and I was looking at why some of these men could have been jealous of Daniel. Well, if you'll note with me in verse 3, we're not going to read it. He had the king's favor. These men saw that. They saw that he had the king's favor. They were jealous of him for that. Daniel was a Jew. These other men who were consulting each other to try to end Daniel's life, they were Gentile. This may have been another reason why they were jealous of him. Another reason that they could have been jealous towards Daniel was the simple fact that Daniel was not corrupt and greedy as they were. Let's look at verse 3 now, if you will. Let's read that. It says, "Then this Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and the satraps because he possessed an extraordinary spirit. And the king planned to adopt him over the entire kingdom." He possessed an extraordinary spirit. This may have been a reference to Daniel's good attitude or abilities. But the reality was, these men saw that. They saw who this man was, and they were jealous of him. They wanted to take his life. God was able to use Daniel for his extensive purposes because Daniel was faithful to the Lord. As we come to this chapter in Daniel chapter 6, we come to a very evil time in Daniel's life. Daniel was a lot older in years, and on top of the pressure of being in charge of an entire nation or an entire kingdom, the leaders of the surrounding kingdoms were talking about him behind his back. And what we find in this chapter, right here in these few verses, in verses 4 through 9, is that Daniel's privacy had been invaded. We see that his reputation was at stake. We see that these men were scheming to take Daniel's position away from him, but more than that, they wanted to end his life. They wanted him dead, and jealousy was the cause of it. J. Vernon McGee made this statement. He says that you cannot keep people from talking about you, but you can so live as to make them liars when they do talk about you. I like that. Daniel's reputation was high and holy. His reputation brought shame to those who did talk bad about him behind his back. What a man of God. What a godly man. I think that as we look at this situation, he knew these things were going on around him. He had every right to feel a little bit anxious. This was moving forward. Let's look at verses 6 and 7. This plan to end his life was continuing on. Let's read those two verses again. Then these commissioners and satraps came by agreement to the king and spoke to him as follows. This is what they said to King Darius. They said, "Live forever, all the commissioners of the kingdom. The prefects and the satraps, the high officials and the governors have consulted together that the king should establish a statute and enforce an injunction that anyone who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days shall be cast into the lion's den." This thing was moving forward. It was progressing. And notice what Daniel does. Look at verse 10 with me. It says, "Now when Daniel knew that the document was signed," before we get to what he does, he knew that this thing was going to be passed. He knew what was going on. He knew what was taking place. He was not ignorant of their schemes against him. And let me tell you something. Something greatly concerned Daniel. Daniel was concerned about this law because it went against the law of his God. He had a strong relationship with the Lord, and he was going to continue on in prayer. Look at what he does. Verse 10. "And he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God as he had been doing continuously." He had every bit of a right to feel a little bit anxious. Daniel, when he heard that these things were taking place, as he felt the pressure of this, he could have moped around. He could have made all kinds of excuses before the Lord as to why he shouldn't pray. He could have said, "Lord, why are you allowing this to happen to me in my life right now? Here I am, I've been given all this authority over this kingdom as an administrator by the king. Why is it that now in my old age you would allow these things to take place?" He could have really questioned God's character and his motives. But Daniel remained faithful to the Lord. What does it say here? Does it say that he ran? Did it say that he hid? No, he didn't skip town in hopes of saving the very skin on his back. None of that. He opened up the windows on his roof, and he continued to pray as he had done previously, knowing full well that people around could see him. And he said, "This is my answer. I am going to get before the Lord regardless of whether or not this is going to take my life." And he did that. This takes guts. It takes commitment. And it takes character to be able to do what Daniel did. Don't be mistaken. Sometimes God gives us situations in our lives. He allows situations to come into our life where we can bring glory to his name. And that was the case that we saw here. Maybe you've missed an opportunity lately to have really given glory to the Lord. Maybe he's allowed a situation to come into your life, or maybe this past week or the past month, you feel like you've really blown it. I want to let you know, don't wallow in that. Fix your eyes on Christ and move forward. Move forward. Maybe you've been struggling with anxiety or loss of hope. That's really where I want to go this morning. He had every reason to feel a little bit anxious, but he doesn't. What does it say he does here? Two things. He gets down on his knees and he prays, and what? He gives thanks before God. There is a deep connection between prayer and between feeling anxious. We're going to look at that in a moment. The second thing that we're going to analyze this morning is his character. Daniel's character. There were disciplines in Daniel's day-to-day business which made sailing the storms of life a little bit smoother. The very first discipline that I've noted in the life of Daniel is that he was a man who studied the Scriptures. This is the very first discipline that I want to look at. He was a man who studied the Scriptures. He had an appetite and a desire to know the deep things of God. He wanted to know doctrine. He was interested in drawing biblical conclusions in life from the Scriptures. If you'll note with me, you don't need to turn there. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 2, it says there that Daniel carefully considered the Scriptures. If we look at that word carefully consider, to consider means to look closely, to consider with full attention. The Word of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness, and is worthy of careful study. Daniel was a man who studied the Word of God. That made sailing the storms of life a little bit easier for him. There is no doubt in my mind that Daniel obtained an understanding about God through this serious study of his word. This is a key factor that helped Daniel to sail through the storms of life when they came, because when we grow in our knowledge of God and in our understanding of him through his word, that will play out practically in our lives, and we see that playing out practically in his life. The second discipline that Daniel had was not only did he study the Word of God, but he was a man who had a powerful prayer life. That's the second discipline that we see. He was a man who had a powerful prayer life. It has been stated that Daniel's prayer life was disciplined yet dynamic. It was regular yet real. It was humble yet highly esteemed. It was tried yet triumphant. A mark of a healthy relationship with the Lord is one that is consistent with prayer. We see Daniel consistent in prayer all throughout the book of Daniel. If you'll note with me, the first time we see Daniel praying is in chapter 2. King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream that greatly disturbed him. He wanted to kill all the wise men in the kingdom. Daniel was on that list. He had some men that wanted to take his life. So what does he do? And let me note this. He was a young man at this time. He was, I believe, in his teens. He got together with his friends and he prayed. I want to tell you something. It is never too old to pray. This man was a man of prayer. We see this in chapter 2. We see it right here in chapter 6, verse 10, where that decree goes forth to end his life. He prays for everyone to see. We see it in chapter 9, Daniel praying before the Lord. He's imploring God, asking him to forgive and to restore the nation of Israel. And the fourth time that we see Daniel praying is in chapter 10. An angel informs Daniel that his prayers were answered in relation to a vision that Daniel received concerning the conflict with the nation of Israel. Daniel was a man who prayed. We see that all throughout this book. This is an important discipline to be growing in when the storms of life come our way. What I have noted in my own life is that when I become anxious or worried, my thoughts are not what they ought to be. Turn with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4. Keep your hand in Daniel chapter 6. We'll be back there. But turn with me to Philippians chapter 4 for a moment. Paul is in prison as he's writing this letter. A constant theme throughout this book is joy. He starts out in chapter 4, verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." Notice what it says in verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things." Have your mind fixed on these things. Sometimes my prayer life is not what it ought to be when I'm feeling anxious or worried. Let's back up a few verses to verse 6. What does it say there? "Be anxious for what? Nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." What are we to do? We're to pray, and we are to give thanks. Typically, when we are going through the storms of life, it is hard to give thanks to the Lord. That's what Daniel did when he was on his knees before God. He gave thanks. He prayed and he gave thanks. So what does it say? We have an incredible promise here in verse 7. We pray, we give thanks, and it says, and the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That battle that I was talking about between the mind and the emotions can be protected by the Lord, as we see right here in verse 7. We have a promise right there that he will protect us. And it is refreshing, I want to say, to get on our knees before the Lord and to thank him. He's given us so much. Turn with me to 1 Peter, if you would. One other passage in the New Testament I'd like to look at. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. What we see in the context there is that these Christians were wrestling with two enemies, the flesh and the devil. We come to chapter 5, verses 6 and 7 of 1 Peter. It says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. What? Casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Casting all of it on to him. Casting in this passage means to cast upon. It's the same word that is found in Luke chapter 19, verse 35. In that passage, the disciples in that verse threw their coats onto a colt. And it carries with it this idea. Stop worrying and trust God. Simply put, stop worrying and trust God. Are we to cast just the small stuff onto his shoulders? Because sometimes we want to carry those harder things to bear ourselves. No. What does it say? Casting all your anxiety on him. Why? Because he cares for us. Notice with me what it says in verse 10. These things are for our good. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. There is a reason that the Lord would allow us to go through certain things, to grow us, to mature us. So we come back to Daniel chapter 6, if you would turn back there in your Bibles with me. What we find is that all throughout the book of Daniel, godly men, including Daniel, had their very lives threatened for their own personal convictions. And one thing that remained consistent all throughout the book of Daniel was that he always stood up for God from the time he was young till the time he was old. This shows us that he had a powerful prayer life and that he was trusting God as he needed to. He was not running on his emotions. Which leads me into the third thing that I would like to analyze this morning, right here from this text, is we see God's care. We see God's care. The reality is, when we become anxious or worried about different circumstances in our life, we are taking our focus off of Christ from where it needs to be, and our focus is where? It is on those things that we are wrestling and struggling with. And what we end up doing is we start to take God out of that equation when he should be at the very center of it. Look at what takes place right here for Daniel in chapter 6, verses 18 through 23. Then the king went off to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no entertainment was brought before him, and his sheep fled from him. Then the king arose at dawn, at the break of day, and went in haste to the lion's den. When he had come near the den to Daniel, he cried out with a troubled voice. The king spoke and said to Daniel, Daniel, your servant of the living God, has your God, whom you constantly serve, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel spoke to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me, inasmuch as I was found innocent before him. And also toward you, O king, I have committed no crime. Then the king was very pleased and gave orders for Daniel to be taken up out of the den. so that Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. Remember this. Daniel had a close relationship with the Lord. He had a powerful prayer life. He studied the Word of God. And who's the one that's anxious right here in this passage? Is it Daniel? No, it's the king. I find that ironic that the king was the one who was anxious and worrying about Daniel's situation. It wasn't Daniel at all. Daniel had an incredible prayer life, and he gave thanks, and he offered up that thanks to the Lord, and I believe the Lord protected him from his own emotions. He trusted in the Lord as he needed to. This angel that came here, I believe, may have been a theophany, which would have been a pre-incarnate Christ before he came to this earth as a human being. That may have been this angel that came here, but what we see is God's heart behind it. He had a desire to comfort Daniel during this time in his life. Maybe today you find yourself in the middle of a trial. Maybe God has put something in your life that has given you cause to be anxious or to worry. If that is the case this morning, remember Daniel. Remember his life. Remember those disciplines. And I want to encourage you, look to the Lord. Look to him. Make sure that your focus is on his Son. Check your prayer life and give thanks to him. As we come back to that statement that I made, Randy Alcorn, the child whose father steps in front of him to protect him from the hail of bullets can trust him not to poison his food or to push him off of a cliff. The reality is, you and I are his child. We have a heavenly Father who has given us his all. And I would say before you this morning, we have every reason to trust our God today. Let's close in a word of prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for this account in your word that is very important to you, that we would be able to look at it today. Father, we thank you for Daniel and for the disciplines in his life that he had. Father, we thank you that you care about us, that you care about what we're going through. You're concerned. Father, and your desire is that you would want to help us. Father, I pray that if anyone here today is going through something, some kind of a circumstance today, a storm of life, Father, I pray that you would work in a powerful way in their lives. Lord, if anyone here has not trusted you as Savior, we pray that, Lord, they would come to faith in your Son right here, right now. We thank you for this day that you've given to us, this day of life. We thank you for Daniel. We thank you that you are for us, that you are right here in this room with us. May, as we leave here this week, may our anxious thoughts and worries be transformed into prayers of studying of your word and of giving thanks to you. We thank you for that. In your name we pray. Amen.